All right, welcome. It's good to see everybody here. It's good to be the first class of everybody's class here. I don't know what y'all are expecting when you come to a class of organization and efficiency. And today it's gonna be a little bit like this elephant here, trying to talk about organizational tips and techniques. It's a little bit like talking about the trunk and the legs and the tail and the head. Thank you. Where if you take each thing in and of itself, you can get misled about what the whole thing's about. So keep that in mind as we're talking about this. We're kind of talking about some of the peripherals, but not spending a whole lot of time on what's the real the basis. And I'll be looking to you all for your tips, your techniques. I'll open it up. I would love to hear more than what I have. I feel like I have a little list here, but there could be so much more to add. How many of you here are first-time teachers, or will be teaching for your first time this year? We have one. How about five-year teachers? How many of you have taught for 5 years? Okay, we have three here. Very good. So the majority here is definitely between 1 and 5. I taught for 7 years now, so I feel a lot on the same page as you all. The definition of efficiency that I want to use today is performing or functioning in the best possible manner with the least waste of time and effort. With the least waste of time and effort. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think about efficiency. For some people, that can be a negative connotation. I've been asking a lot of people, so are you all for efficiency? And usually their first response is, And that to me tells something about efficiency, is that some people have had bad experiences with efficiency. And my personal opinion is that no one is opposed to efficiency if the goal is the right goal. We all have different goals, and depending on what our goals are, it can make efficiency seem good or it can seem bad. So I would like to keep this in mind. I think we know the rest of the verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the goal with which this efficiency class is oriented in. That our efficiency, or as we seek efficiency, it's with our students' success in mind. We're wanting to take our students where they're at to where they need to go with the least waste of time and effort. And where we can improve our lives with it as well, that comes secondary to our students' success. Stephanie Denton, in the book The Organized Life, said, "Being organized is about living the life you want to live. It's more than creating a beautiful space or getting things done fast, although both are extremely valuable results of getting organized. Being organized is about reaching your dreams and having an environment that supports your doing so." I'll read that last one again. Being organized is about reaching your dreams and having an environment that supports your doing so. And I'll add in there as well as the dreams of your students. Make sure that is an important thing. I don't know how many of you have read Cheaper by the Dozen. He was an efficiency expert. I read two excerpts out of it. One excerpt is a little bit more of the negative side of efficiency. This is Mother, and they're at Grandma's. We'll call Grandma Grossi, as in the story. "There," Mother said, coming smiling into the living room. "That's out of the way. It didn't take me long, did it? 6 calls in 2 hours. Wasn't I efficient?" To be efficient in the Gilbreth family was a virtue on par with veracity, honesty, generosity, philanthropy and toothbrushing. We agreed that Mother had, indeed, been exceptionally efficient. But Grossi looked disapproving. Don't you think I was efficient, Mama dear? Perhaps, Lily dear, Grossi said slowly. Perhaps you were a little too efficient. We see that relationships were expended here. And then someone once asked Dad, what do you want to save time for? What are you going to do with it? Which is, by the way, a very good question. For work, if that's what you love best, said Dad. For education, for beauty, for art, for pleasure. He looked over the top of his pince-nez. For mumble-de-peg, if that's where your heart lies. In other words, whatever you're going for, that's the reason you need to be efficient, because you want to get there. So efficiency begets peace, stability, more time for other things, the satisfaction of a job well done, good learning, and goal attainment. So I think in that context, efficiency can be a something we all want to pursue with that framework in mind, because it benefits me, benefits my students, and everybody. Concepts about efficiency. You must want it to have it. Secondarily, you must have a goal. If you have no goals, efficiency is not necessary. Do we need it? Americans waste approximately 9 million hours per day searching for misplaced items. This is the American Demographic Society. And I'm sure we're all a part of that figure. Is efficiency a good thing? There's some might not think so, but as we talked about, I think we can all agree on that aspect of it. Maybe you've tried to be real efficient, real organized, but it just doesn't work. It's not you. It's just not who you are. But I want to encourage you with this quote, desire, determination, and time are important. But without strategy, you will get nowhere. So just because you've exerted effort and sweat and tears into it, it may mean that you just simply didn't have a strategy to go along with your sweat and tears and toil. So don't give up too quick, because efficiency and effectiveness go hand in hand. And I hope as we go through this that you will come to that agreement as well. Are there any other thoughts, corrections, comments? You want to highlight something? If not, we'll keep moving. There's a couple of factors that cause disorganization. If I have my bedroom or my car or my desk or my schoolroom or different things, if I'm disorganized, there's usually a couple of root causes for that. I want to identify five of them. Number one is lack of planning. There's a quote that says, "The nice thing about not planning is that failure comes as a complete surprise, rather than being preceded by a period of worry and depression." So if you love surprises, just don't plan at all. You'll get plenty of them. So make sure you sit down and plan. This is especially critical before school begins, is create a plan. Secondarily, lack of communication. If you have a good plan but don't communicate that with maybe your students, your school board, your co-teachers, communicating that on a regular basis can help you get there. Thirdly, viewing it as a hindrance because it doesn't fit into your goals. For example, say nap time. Some people don't take naps because they view it as a hindrance to their goal of productivity. Other people take naps because they view it as important to reaching their goal of organization and efficiency. So if you're not getting something done, it's likely, it could be because you think it doesn't help you reach your goals. Fourth, you may simply dread the jobs. If you don't like to do dishes, guess what? You're probably going to have messy counters. Be one little aspect. So if you dread the job, check yourself. Why do I dread it? And if I dread it, how can I work at getting to the point where maybe I can at least get through it okay. And fifth, mental fog. Sometimes one of the classic examples is dating teachers. We blame it on that a lot, but there's a lot of other things for teachers that aren't dating. There can be lots of maybe guilt, mental anxiety, worries, family things. A lot of things can be going on in our minds that distract us. And that dealing with that can be a huge thing. Sometimes it can be health. Sometimes if we're not having a good diet or you name it, that can be something that affects our efficiency and organization. One of the biggest assets to efficiency in an organization is repetition. One of the illustrations is my brother-in-law is a sawyer, and I am fascinated by watching him. He sits in a trucker's seat. He has two pedals that he's running with his feet. He has a hand on each control. And on each control has various buttons on top of that control. And in front of him is a big panel with probably about 20 different buttons. And he's sitting there. I've called him up already, and we've had long, deep chats about stuff. And all the while, he's sitting there doing this thing, and these big logs are flying back and forth in front of this saw. And he's punching buttons almost subconsciously and just going, and these boards are just flying off the mill. And it's, how do you get there? How in the world can you multitask that much? Well, you can't. Multitasking, I feel multitasking has more to do with repetition than with the ability to have five different compartments in your brain going at once. So do lots of repetition. That's the key to efficiency. And you'll see it, like if you're having trouble to get up to the class table in time, if you're constantly behind in something. There's lots of different ways that if you would just establish a routine and get good at it, you can really go. They say it takes 5 years to be a good sawyer and 10 years to be an expert sawyer. And it may be the same way with teaching, I'm not sure. There's three letters, ACT, that spell the word ACT. Number one is assess your situation. So we have a problem here. Something's disorganized. Something's not being efficient. Identify the problem. Sometimes if we can identify the problem, that solves it instantly. So assess your situation. For example, it's taking 45 seconds to get up to the class table, and that's too long for me. 45, something's happening. Why are we not getting to the table in 30 seconds instead of 45? So we sit down and we think about it. Why not? I noticed that a couple students have to dig and paw on their desk to find stuff. We're losing efficiency right there. Another student got up to the class table, but he forgot his red pen. So he has to go back. So identify the problem. Here's some problems. What can we do about it? And so we commit to a plan. We say that tomorrow at 10:50 is English class time. So all the students now know at 10:50. It's not going to be at 10:55 or at 10 whatever. It's going to be at 10:50. So they can know when to prepare it. Secondly, we're going to place a completed paper in the book at the correct time so that they don't get up to the class table and not be ready for that. So they get up to the class table and they open their book and right there's yesterday's paper, assuming we're checking in class. And thirdly, we're going to put red pen holders on their desk so that they're not forgetting or needing to find it. So we commit to a plan. We talk about it and say, this is what we're going to do so that tomorrow we can get up in 30 seconds. And then number three there is take action. Tomorrow at 10:50, the teacher says, English class time. The students, it might be good the first couple days to warn them, okay, students, 10:50, it's coming up. And then every day at 10:50. And then it may even be helpful to practice that a couple times with your students so that they know. So we've identified a problem, we've committed to a plan together, and then we take action. And within a couple weeks, you announce it, boom, they're all there. Just no problem. That would be the ideal scenario. And so you can use this in a lot of different ways. Identify the problem, commit to an action, commit to a plan, then take action. Moving on. The number one spot for efficiency is you as a teacher. Both in your spiritual and physical. In order for you to be efficient, organized, you first have to be that in your minds, in the way you relate to life. You can't live a sloppy, disorganized home life, come to school and be the efficient, streamlined teacher. Your life defines your efficiency. You can't separate it out very distinctly. Who you are in your worst times is going to impact who you are in your best times. So make it a life habit instead of just something to do at school. Next one, the desk. Your teacher's desk is a spot that needs to be organized and efficient. Is your desk attractive to you? That's important. Do you like to sit down at your desk? Make your desk a place you love to sit down at. If you don't love to sit down there, guess what? You're not going to want to sit down there. So it's simple. Is it inviting to you? Is it big enough? Can you make it organized? Or do you just have to pile things around because you have no space to put it? Is it big enough for you? Do you have a comfortable chair? Talk to the school board about it if you don't. I know we're on limited budgets here, so sometimes we have to be content. But do try to have a comfortable chair. Make your desk ordered, and by asking that, Uwe tells the story. He was my teacher. He tells the story of one time he borrowed this teacher's pitch pipe to do singing, and he placed it back right where it had been. And the next day, the teacher wondered, who messed with my pitch pipe? Because he had a problem with some students stealing stuff or messing with stuff. So he was very organized. Because the pitch pipe always was at the 12 o'clock position. So he was at 12 o'clock, and he noticed it was at 1 o'clock. So there's extremes on both sides. If you're organizing your currency and your bill according to the VIN numbers on them, it's probably a little excessive. But can ask these questions. Can you quickly find what you want without pawing through junk? If you can find that, you're probably fairly organized. Can you get all your class time supplies before getting up and without opening more than one drawer? That might be a little harder to obtain. In other words, when you announce class time, do you have to walk here and over there and then finally make it to the table? Announce class time, you grab your teacher's manual, pull that drawer open, you grab what you need, and you're to the class table. Make that personalized for you. Should your desk be professional or should it be personal? Do you have lots of sticky notes from your students or people encouraging notes on your desk? Or is it like the workspace when you walk into somebody's office and it looks very professional? Think about that. Which one of those best helps you to be the teacher your students need you to be? Personally, I've kind of had a blend of both. So you might need to make that call. Your storage room. I don't know how many of you winced. I know I winced when I put that down. Your storage room. If you're lucky, you have one. If you don't have one, you might be lucky as well. But did you know that clutter costs you too much? It's too expensive to have clutter. It's too costly. It steals your time and it grabs your space. One thing that may be useful to you is that before you begin the year, sit down with your co-teachers, go through your storage room, have a used pile, have a rarely used pile, and have a never used pile. And separate everything in your storage room into those three piles. Discard the never used pile. The rarely used pile, maybe leave it set there and come back at next year with the commitment that you will either use it this year or you will discard it as well. In other words, have only stuff in your room that you are going to use in the next year or two, that you're pretty sure you'll use. Otherwise, it's going to cost you and it's going to be expensive for you. Lastly, specifically, be specific and label everything where it's at, so that when you or your co-teachers walk in, you don't spend 5 minutes pulling drawers out. Where was that thing? Spending 15 or 30 minutes labeling your drawers now will save you dividends throughout the year when you have that last minute art class and you have to desperately go searching for that item you're looking for. Any thoughts so far? Questions? Comments? If not, let's keep moving. Your classes. You'll probably spend a lot of time in classes this year. Some teachers more, some teachers less. Sometimes it can depend on the number of students you have. If you have one pretty smart student, your class time may be very minimal. If you have a big class of students that need lots of help, you may spend lots of time there. But class time can be a big area that can be improved, one thing I've noticed for myself. So as far as class time, when you get home next week, start preparing for class time. You can do that by beginning lesson plans, and if you're checking the work and you're going to need to know the points, go through your teacher's manuals and scrawl the points in if you're allowed to. That way you have the points right there. Secondarily about those points is label specifically what those points represent. That way if you switched from evens to the odds, or you did the whole lesson this time or you did the odds, you know exactly what those numbered points represents, so you don't have to recount. So go through your books, write your lesson points. Lesson plans, get a feel for that, especially if you're a new teacher. Know what your lessons are going to be teaching and get a mental picture of where you're going in the next couple weeks. You'll save yourselves a lot of trouble. I really like the idea of creating a schedule sheet before school begins. Create a fairly detailed schedule sheet for the first 2 or 3 weeks, ideally. It can be more difficult, especially for maybe first-time teachers, because you're still getting a feel for it. But those of us who have taught numerous years, we can look back at last year's schedule, hopefully, and get a feel for that. But create that schedule sheet as well as a rough draft of the year. By Christmas time, where do I need to be? By the end of the year, how do I need to go through this to be where I need to be at the end of the year? I've had the years where my last 3 weeks were just crammed. And that kind of leaves a bad flavor. At the time of the year when your students are starting to wobble a little bit because that end goal is right there, that's hardly the time to be cramming work. It's just not the time to do that. The time to cram, I feel, is at the beginning of the year when they're all amped up for school and they're energetic, ready to go. Use it up then, that way you can kind of back off later if you need to. Be ahead of schedule, not behind. Get your supplies around. Go through and know what you're doing for art for the year. A general idea, you don't have to plan out every day. But know kind of where you're going and make a shopping trip before school begins. And just come home with a boatload of stuff. And store at a place that you know where to go to get it. That has saved me hours of time. Because I don't need to do those last-minute town runs just every week for... Science. Do you know what science experiments you're going to be doing this year? If so, go get those supplies before school begins, if possible. What about history? Are you going to be doing any special history things this year? Bible memory. Do you have your Bible memory sheets printed out? Procedures. Do you know your procedures? So, before school begins, try to get all that nailed down, and I don't think you'll be sorry for it. Before each school day begins, spend time with God in Bible reading and prayer. I think God is the source of wisdom, and we as teachers, we need wisdom for the day. A lot of times that comes in those quiet moments with God. And that feeling of restfulness and committing it to God in prayer can be a huge help in being who I need to be so that my students and our classrooms can run the way they need to be run. Some teachers prepare the hour or two before school begins for the day. Other teachers prepare after school is over for the next day. I don't know which one of those you are. Hopefully you're one of the two. Decide which one's better for you. I have a feeling, especially newer teachers, probably should be hitting it the day before. Because sometimes you'll actually run into things you don't know how to do it. And an hour before school begins, not the time really to be trying to figure out how to do something to teach your students. So keep that in mind. Prepare, look over your lessons, possibly the day before, and know where it's headed. And thirdly, one practice we have that I really have enjoyed is we have teachers' prayer before school begins. We get together and one of the teachers leads out in prayer. And it gives us an opportunity to talk about what's going to happen that day, if anything out of the ordinary is happening, and so on. There's communication going on. It's an opportunity to communicate. So that's a perfect time for that. For your delivery during classes, chop wasted seconds. That can happen in coming up to the class table. That can happen with going over time. That can happen through lots of questions before class. I enjoy the policy, no questions about today's lesson until we have class. It just helps save everybody's time. At the beginning of the year, if you think there might be a little trouble, practice coming up to class. Maybe three times in a day, just one after the other. They say it takes about 15 repetitions for something to become ingrained enough to remember it. So try to get those 15 repetitions as soon as possible. They say it gets up to about 25 or 30 if you're having to unlearn a repetition. So deal with things right off the bat as far as efficiency, and you'll save yourselves lots of work later. Slice review, rarely. You don't save a whole lot of time by cutting review out of your... it might save time that day, but wait till the test comes. Cut student stories. They will have stories for every situation you name. Figure out ahead of time how to deal with that. Tell them to... I don't know. Give them a paper to write it down. Good practice doing that. But make class time a teacher-oriented situation, not where the students are carrying it. Shave questions. We talked about that a little bit. And hack research. Sometimes a student, till later, sometimes a student will pop a question you don't know. Just file that question, maybe at the end of the day, pull it out, research it, and get back the next day. You're not obligated to do all that research during class while they sit there in group off. The checking. This is another big area for me, at least. Took me a while to figure out that organizing your paperwork can save a lot of time. Do you have a plan? Different teachers do different way. Jonah Avina has a 9-book layout. I didn't have time to go over that with him, so if you're curious about that 9-book layout, Jonah Avina, he's coming around here. Nail him with that. He has a really good plan. Have a stacker or a place that students place their finished work. They know that that's where it goes. Put it, make them do it in the order that you find helpful for yourself, so that when you sit down for checking, don't be getting up to go get more papers or more books. I think you should be able to sit down, do all your checking in one whack, put it away, get up and leave. Don't have lots of movements while you're checking. And again, we're just trying to be more efficient. Do prompt checking. If you wait, I think the students deserve quick checking. If you wait till a week later, the students will get their paper, go, oh, and store it. Probably won't even look at it unless it's a bad or good grade. But Amazon Prime may not be good enough for your students. Same day checking, maybe have that as an ideal. It's not always realistic. But try to get them papers back as soon as possible. And some you might have to specify for the students when to hand them in. If they're handing them in anytime between Monday and Friday, that's not going to work very well. Your schedule. Actually, one more point. It can be a point of contention between teachers, between electronic grade recording versus hard copy recording. I've heard some teachers say that up to 5 students, they think that either way is hard to tell which is faster if you have up to 5 or 6 students. You can almost do a calculator as fast as you can run a computer program if you only have a couple students. But if you have a dozen students or more, electronic grading can save lots of time if you have one that works well. I finally developed one this last summer that I like for myself. That takes a lot of time. Don't do it unless you have the inspiration to. The schedule. Try to be punctual. Be very punctual as a teacher, even in things that might not matter so much. You think, well, it could be this or it could be there. Just, if it can be that, great. Just choose a time and do it then. Because your students... There's some students that really thrive on routine. That's where they find their life. Anytime you start disrupting routine, they're not sure when it's coming next. It can, emotionally, I'm not sure how to say that. They don't find their security in breaking things up too much. A little bit every now and again can be helpful, but try to be punctual. Eliminate distractions for yourself and your students. If your cell phone's laying on the desk and it's dinging throughout the school day or even before or after school, chances are you're losing efficiency. Gadgets, clutter. One thing I found helpful is know what time you're going home at the end of the school day before the school day begins. Just set a time and just go home when you've decided it's time to go home. I remember I would get to show up at school at 6:30 in the morning or 7, and I was going home at 6 to 6:30 in the evening, and that was very exhausting. And some other teachers encouraged me, just go home at 5. Just do it. Whatever waits, it waits. It just do it the next day. And if you don't get it done, maybe it wasn't that important. So I decided I'm just going to do it, and I just went home at 5. And I think everything got done that needed to get done. And I'm not sure where that extra time was coming in. I think if we set ourselves deadlines, we get done by those deadlines. Mm-hmm. So set yourself a time that you need to go home and just go home then. As a rule of thumb, some days you might have miscalculated and you need to stay extra. After school, I don't know, some of you might come from more where co-teachers party afterward, have their discussions, and that can be ever so good, but it can eat into important things. So your co-teachers need to know ahead of time when you plan to go back to your room to get back to work. let them know ahead of time. That way there's that way you don't have to say, I'm sorry, excuse me, I need to go, and feel like a party breaker. It's 3:30, I gotta go, and you go back to your room or whatever you've decided. Communicate meetings, hot lunch, special days. I'll quickly just read Jay there. For recess time, you can merge rooms. You and your co-teachers decide, hey, let's have recess together. If one co-teacher needs more time for class or checking or something, one can stay inside, the other one can manage two rooms. If you work together as co-teachers in recess, you can create yourself more of a relief schedule. One thing we've found helpful is minimizing the number of games we play for the week. Maybe just we're playing their base and we're playing tag this week for third recess or second recess. And that's just what you play for the week. Next week, you decide on a different game. And students seem to be okay with that so far. So you don't need to every day be choosing a new game, because that can get old as well, too. The students. I'd like to spend more time on this than I have, but there's lots of help available for you, hopefully. Your students possibly can be helped. Students can become excellent song leaders. They can give devotionals. They can clean up your bathrooms and kitchen and room. And they can do checking. As far as that would be more towards the upper graders. You're going to have to brainstorm this at your community. A lot of communities vary in their approaches to this, so brainstorm how you can implement these things in your community. I've found it very helpful that the students can not only do devotionals. I did it every other week. A student had a devotional. So that relieved me of one, plus it gave them extra practice. And my students, they were looking forward to their devotionals. They were practicing, starting 3 weeks ahead of time. And they knew what they were going to do about. And they had some excellent devotionals. So give them an opportunity to do that. I have grades 6 through 10. The next teacher, I think third grade on up should be able to do basic ones. As far as checking, sometimes you might have to depend more on the ones that have free time. Some of us teachers have students that have half a day of free time. Just expecting them to check can be okay, I think. Just if they have lots of free time, just set a time that I'd like you to check during this period. Maybe if you have your points written in there, they can even grade the work for you. And look over that. You get a feel for if they know how to check. The other thing would be on checking is spot checking. I'm coming to the conclusion that not every lesson needs to be heavily checked. But I think the more you teach, the more you get a feel for where they're going to have trouble spots or not. If a student made a mistake on something, he probably will never catch it if you never catch it. And if you decide that certain areas, if you wrote 2 plus 2 is 5, you know he had just a bad day and he was being careless. Do we need to spend time going over 2 plus 2 is 4 if he's a sixth grader? Probably not. So there's mistakes that we're human are, and I say carefully, are okay if we don't catch them. Go for the critical spots. Discuss it with your school board and other teachers as far as more in depth. The greater community I found very helpful. This last year I had moms come in. They volunteered to come in and listen to Bible memory. I had Bible memory. The way I did it, I had Bible memory. They said it every 6 weeks. And so a mom would volunteer to come in and spend the first period. The students would be going out and saying Bible memory to her. And that freed me up. It allowed their moms to come in and see what's going on. And I think everybody benefited from that. So brainstorm ways. Put it out as volunteer options. Maybe at the beginning of the year, say you have and put out a paper, say, I'll be having these options for y'all if y'all want to volunteer to come in and do these functions at school. Put the word out there, and you might be surprised how many moms and dads are looking for a chance to know how to be a benefit there. They're on the greater community under teens. I think we can view it as apprenticeships for some older teenagers, especially girls, to ask their contribution to come in once or twice a week and do checking. I've had two co-teachers who became my co-teachers that were in that type of a situation. The first year or two, they came in and checked. And they got in on the teachers' meetings and stuff like that. And when they taught their first year of school, I would say they taught like second or third year teachers, just because they knew how to check, they knew how to grade, they knew the routines. They were much more advanced when they did come to teach. They had a lot more opportunity. So consider an apprenticeship. Maybe talk to one of the teenagers and, hey, would you enjoy coming in to help check? Side note, it can be easy on the budget if you don't have to pay them. And the school board. Let the school board know if there's things you would like them to do. I found that oftentimes school boards, they want to be helpful. They want to be involved. They want to know how they can help, but kind of are at a loss sometimes to know how to do it practically. If you have ideas, run it by them, talk to them, and say, would you be interested in doing this? Throw things out there. One thing about school board meetings, on the meetings, is have a purpose, prepare for them beforehand, schedule meetings with Alpha and Omega, meaning the beginning and the end. Decide it's going to start at 4, decide it's going to end at 4:45. Know what you're going to talk about, know why you're there to talk about it, copy and review the decisions down. Keep the meetings moving, because meetings are fun, they're great, but people that have other goals, have other things, need to get home. Make sure they can do that. Your habits. Have a to-do list. I have a little, I think this little booklet here has been one of the biggest things as far as my organization and efficiency. When you think of something, write it down. And as you go throughout the day, pull it out and look at it. Wherever you have your notes written, review your to-do list periodically. Analyze your time. Maybe randomly throughout the school year, decide today I'm going to make a detailed inventory of how I spent my time. Have a big paper on your desk. School started at 9 o'clock. We walked out of the room at 9:03. Recess started a bit late at 10:31 instead of 10:30. Make a detailed inventory of your day and look, is this time going where I think it is? That can be valuable in self-analysis. The other thing, do it now if it takes less than 30 seconds. If you think of something that you can do in less than 30 seconds, do it immediately. That would go along with this right here. The quote, it's usually not the large things that burden one down so much as the pile of little things that weigh us down. Don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, but by what you have accomplished with your ability. If you could have done 90 and you did 60, don't be satisfied with that. Do 90. And yet, don't overexpect how much you do. You are a human. You have needs. Sometimes we can only do 60 when someone else can do 90. Be okay with your 60. And procrastination is the fertilizer that makes difficulties grow. One thing I forgot on class preparation was before class time, maybe this is just me, but have little pictographs on the board that they can visualize what you're talking about. This man's name is Unity, and he's carrying a load of topic sentence. So ask them, Unity does what for your topic sentence? It supports. And whenever your students hear Unity, they see the man bent over. So if you have those things up before school starts, their curiosity is piqued throughout the day. That was a little side note there. Are there any questions, comments? I'd like to hear some for you in the last minute or two here.
Do you have any suggestions for teachers looking for a electronic grading accounting system?
There's a bunch out there. I looked at all of them. I looked at a bunch of them and I didn't like them. That's why I built my own. If y'all are welcome, you're welcome to look at mine, and it may not be what you like either. But keep looking. Yeah.
I have one that Elmer Glick put together for a few years, actually, for Sealy, and works really well for me. You can email on him and he'll send it to you.
So Elmer Glick.
I use thinkwave.com.
I'm sorry?
Thinkwave.com.
Thinkwave.com? Okay. All right. As my wife's uncle says, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And remember that education without application is merely entertainment.